90.3 867 1190
Near FM.
I am joined on the line by James Hill and here live in studio by Orla Farrell. Good morning, Orla. Welcome to the studio.
Good morning, Donny, and hello, James.
Hello, James, hello. And welcome as well.
Hi, guys. Nice to hear from you again.
You're an old hand at this, James. You joined me on several occasions. We're going to talk about a community tree planting initiative. And if I could come to you first on this, James, just something that struck my mind when I was doing me a little bit of homework. I do a little bit of research for this program, you know, from time to time. Do you have a problem locating places or venues, I suppose is the wrong word, but locations in order to plant trees?
It can be a challenge in a city setting because we have to be very careful, as Orla would say, you know, with the right tree for the right place, and that we don't want to be planting a tree that's going to give issues down the road, you know what I mean, that it's going to block them too much light from a building, or the roots could be an issue with a foundation if it's planted too close to a building. So the first thing is finding the right location and then finding the right tree for that location. So we might plant for a tree that would be a smaller tree that would be more suitable for that space. So that's why, you know, when we go to look at these locations, we try and take those things into consideration and that, so we're not creating a problem down the road and that, you know.
And now, this is going to be the real ignoramus in me, and I should know this, of course, coming from the country. Is there a right or a wrong time of the year to plant trees?
There is, it depending on what way you take that tree. So if you get a tree in a pot, then you can plant that any time of the year, provided you water the tree during the dry period and at a stake to protect it from wind rock. Then you have the other type of planting of a tree where it's called a bare root season. So this is where trees are lifted by the nursery when the tree is in a dormant stage. When it's in a dormant stage, it means when there's no leaves on the trees and there's no demand for water. And we usually do that, well, it used to be in October, but with climate change, now we're waiting until nearly December before we can lift those trees before they're in a dormant stage between December now and March.
And for anybody who's a climate change sceptic, I would advise you to just stand outside for 5 minutes today. It's absolutely unbelievably mild for the time. You know, I do appreciate that we're told that that's going to change during the week. But let's be honest, James, and indeed Orla as well, sorry for, I'll bring you in a minute, but I mean, it's unseasonably mild and has been really from what we would describe as the end of summer into autumn. Like, it's unbelievably mild.
Yes, most, and that has been more precedent this year with the higher temperatures we've had in the summer months and the extended mild period we're having. Like, I remember one Christmas on Christmas Day, and we had in one location in Ireland was 16 degrees and that, which is just unnatural for what should be happening at this time. And even in the eco pockets, we're having fruit trees flowering at the moment, which is totally out of season. And what's going to happen is when we do get the first frost, that's going to kill them off, and then we'll have no fruit for next year. So these are the kind of conditions we're dealing with, and this is the aftermath. What's going to happen is going to affect the way we produce food as well, and that, you know.
Yeah, and I'm very familiar with that particular Christmas Day you're talking about, because I come in here and do 2 hours on a Christmas Day just to, I suppose, it's my excuse for not having to be around the kitchen. Let's put it that way, and the same actually will pertain this Christmas Day this year. I will be here between 1 and 3 live. But I did remark that particular day, I think it could be about maybe 3 or 4 years ago, that I walked out of here and I was literally in my short sleeves because it was absolutely unbelievably mild. And I remember remarking when I came home, Jesus, lads, it's an awful pity it's Christmas Day. I could be cutting the grass if it wasn't.
And unfortunately that seems to be going to be the norm going forward now, with the temperatures rising and that, you know.
Orla, I'm going to bring you in. Sorry, James, I'm going to bring Orla in here, and Orla, I'm going to give you a good run at it. Tell us all about Easy Treesy. It's a lovely catch name for us, by the way. Well done on that, both of you, whoever came up with the idea.
It was the children in my class at school, and in fact I met a mother of one of the children as I walked in, Karen Meenan, one of the children that was involved in the start of this project. So I was teaching in Baldoyle when we came across the Million Tree Challenge by a 9-year-old boy who was living in Germany and started this project by planting an apple tree in his own school. So we discovered that Ireland has 1 million school children, and we thought, well, how hard can that be? We'll plant a tree with every child, or for every child with their community's help. So we're on over 300,000 planted
at
this
stage. When was that?
So we had a pilot project which started actually this week. Science Week 2022 is on today. And in Science Week 2019, we did our first mass planting all around the country, where we planted 30,000 trees in 1 week. And since then, we've multiplied that tenfold with people like James and the Northside Partnership, experts. Now, because I'm a teacher, I don't see myself as a tree expert, but that won't stop me planting a tree here this morning. And Donny, hearing you talking about Christmas and how you love Christmas and how you're in here on your own on Christmas morning, I thought I would plant a holly tree for you. Now, this holly tree was given to us by
and for those of you with the benefit of webcam who are looking at us this morning,
oh, are we on camera?
Wow. She is not. These are not sound effects by our highly charged and qualified techie people. Orla is actually physically planting a tree in the studio. That is a plastic bag full of earth.
It is. I just got it out of my garden. It's nothing, no special earth, and a little drop of water. Maybe I'll put you to work. I'll delegate. I'll let you water in your tree. And now on Christmas morning, you won't be on your own here. You'll have Holly to talk to.
Yeah.
We always plant a tree when we're on the radio. We planted a tree on the Tuberty Show. We planted a tree on Karen Meenan's show. So here you are. Now, after the work is done, because our motto is stop talking, start planting. And you know what? In Science Week, the rationale behind this is exactly addressing what you and James have been describing. I picked an apple out of my garden not 10 days ago, and there was a flower on the apple tree as I picked the last apple. So you're right, the world is warming. So by participating in this World Trillion Tree campaign, it's part of the United Nations Decade on Ecosystem Restoration. What we're doing is bringing down temperature by 1 degree globally this decade. If we succeed in getting the trillion planted. And we've actually space for a billion in Ireland, would you believe, without touching good agricultural land. I know you're a Cork man. I was down talking to the Ag Science Teachers of Ireland yesterday in Moor Park in Fermoy. So we have consulted with the experts on how this can be best brought about. And it's very exciting actually to hear only in the last week that new grants have come in to enable farmers to avail of some assistance, because that has not been working lately, and our national targets are down. So the billion trees in Ireland would only bring us up to a level of, for example, the country of Belgium, where we'd only be at 17.5%, and the average in Europe is 30%. The average around the world is 25%. And in Ireland, we're way below that at around 11%.
But so, I mean, a million to yeah. think, Orla, and James as well, I don't want to ignore you in this conversation, James, but to think that you can plant a million trees, as she hands me one that's just been planted.
Yeah, here's the water. Yep. Mind your tech now.
Here's the water, and if you hear a loud bang and a scream, it'll be me electrocuting myself and taking Near FM off the air.
Now he has the work done. So next there is the chocolate, because our project is powered by chocolate. So I have brought for you, Donny.
But sorry, the question I was going to ask is this, and I find it very strange, and I'm not for one moment doubting what you said, but to think that you can plant a million trees. Oh, now well, this bit I like, chocolate, yes, indeed. She comes bearing gifts.
Oh,
to think that you can plant a million trees in a country the size of Ireland, and that it won't affect one inch.
A billion.
Is it a billion or
yeah,
a million?
Because a million is only like a fraction of the Phoenix Park. We plant them very tight, 2,500 to 3,000 per hectare, and they don't all survive like to 200 years time, because those small ones, the holly, they'll stay small, right? They grow very slowly. And then we have ones that grow fast, like the birch. They don't last, like they wouldn't last usually a few hundred years. But an oak tree would last a few hundred years under the right conditions. So I haven't finished with the gifts now, Donny. So here's a bit of apple tart and custard made from the very apples that I described to you that I was picking off the tree 10 days ago. So my husband made the tart actually yesterday. It was a birthday cake for my new son-in-law. On the subject of food security, you can't do better than plant an apple tree in your garden or a fruit tree. They're not native actually, only the crab apples are native. So but you know what, we don't do perfection. It doesn't, our project doesn't have to be perfect, though of course James and his people are horticulture teachers, and I'm just doing a little clean up here now.
And for listeners this morning, that has been your Monday edition of Northside Today. I'm off to the kitchen now because I have so much stuff here, and I'll talk to you next week. James, the question that comes to mind listening to all of that, like, to source that amount of trees, is that a big undertaking?
Well, Orla's been very good. She's bringing up a lot of great connections with nurseries in Ireland, and we have some amazing nurseries, and they've expanded massively in the last few years, and that as people are kind of reconnecting with the gardens from COVID and that, you know. So, and they've been very kindly, you know, donating trees to us and that. And then it's Quilter as well, and that has been a massive support to the project and that, you know. And like what we wouldn't be buying, they wouldn't be giving us big trees. They'd be giving us what's called whips. So whips are like 3 foot high and that. So it means that we can plant a lot of trees quickly in that, you know. And the beauty of planting smaller trees is there's a better chance of them taking than a very mature tree that needs take time to get its roots established in that, you know. Like, I remember planting a plantation of birch, and it was maybe a plant of maybe 10 feet tall birch, and ones at 3 foot, the ones at 12 foot. Kind of stayed the same height for about 3 years, and the ones that 3 foot nearly caught up. They were nearly the same height. You couldn't tell which was the smaller one that was gone in, and that's the beauty going with a smaller tree and that, you know.
Now people listening this morning as well, and I have some friends who are in the IFA, and in fact one of them was the forestry spokesperson on behalf of the IFA for a number of years, and an issue they have is that a serious issue, and it's going to get even more serious, I think, is that there seems to be, if you'll pardon the pun, a logjam, because the Department of the Environment are not granting licenses sufficiently quickly enough to people to take trees out of the forestry that are fully matured for production, so that there are fully matured trees actually going past their, for argument's sake, sell-by date, and aren't being taken out. Now, I presume, and you would probably know this, James, better than anybody, when you take out a tree or a line of trees or a plantation, that's the end product to an extent. But if you take out 100 trees on the back of a truck, well, you have to put in 100 trees to replace them down the line. And if the old stuff isn't being taken out, then the new stuff isn't being planted.
And it's about proper planning ahead, really, you know what I mean? Now, yeah, like I said, there's a huge issue with issuing licenses and that, and hopefully the departments will get themselves more organised to kind of streamline that a bit better and that, you know, because we're importing a lot of timber in this country where we have timber ready to go and that, you know.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous that, I mean, we're on about a greener environment and a greener climate, and of course this feeds directly into that. But if we have our own timber here ready to go, and we have a government department that won't issue licenses for people to take down that timber, and it's going to decay and rot and be useless. And yet there is God knows how many hundred tons of timber coming in on a ship from God knows where around the world. I mean, it makes no sense to me.
No, because you're increasing a bigger carbon footprint to having to ship those in and that, where we have trees at our doorstep and that, you know. But we still need to be planting a lot more, and we need to be planting more for the future and that, you know. And we need to do a lot more mixed planting. There was actually a program on there on Saturday there from Home Trees and that, and they're setting up a whole new program and that. Well, it's not a problem. They're a long time on the go and that, you know, and they're trying to support farmers and people with a mixed planting of trees, which is better again, so that you will have maybe your six of spruce that will come in very quick, but you'll have also in that mixed planting oak trees, which will be a long-term investment in that, you know, which will take longer to mature in that, but you'll get a premium price for that timber down the road, you know.
Now, Orla mentioned there a while ago about my Cork pedigree and heritage, and of course everybody coming from Cork will be very familiar with hurling. And I mean, we're hearing now that there is actually hurley makers going out of business, not because there isn't demand for what they're doing, but because they can't get the ash trees. And we're importing substandard ash, I think, in a lot of cases. So, I mean, the ash is actually an indigenous Irish tree, if by...
It is, and unfortunately we imported the ash dieback disease, and unfortunately we're losing... hundreds, thousands of our ash trees at the moment. Now, Chagas, in fairness, and the department are doing a lot of research to find new varieties that are resistant to that disease, and there's a lot of research that I've actually seen up in Ashdown, so we are on it. It's just unfortunately going to take time, but unfortunately we are going to see a lot of our ash, like the elm, when we had the Dutch elm disease one time, where it was brought in by a beetle and wiped out all our elm trees and that. But you know, with the proper research, and we have a very good research centre in Ashdown and in Chagas and that, and do a lot of amazing work, that hopefully we'll be finding new resistant varieties, and going forward that we'll be able to start repopulating the countryside with our native ash trees and go back to using ash as for our hurley sticks and that, you know. But at the moment, unfortunately, yeah, there will be less of that type of timber available to make hurley sticks at the moment, you know, which is sad to see.
Orla, something fascinating that I just think in here, and occasionally I do have interesting thoughts. You mentioned the fact that you're a school teacher. Do you find in your work that projects like this, it is so easy to get the kids to buy into it? And is there a little bit of method in the madness as well, that if you can get them to buy into something like this at an early age, it stays with them throughout their life?
Well, I would say that the madness is in not planting trees, that it's a very sane
approach. But I'm saying about if you can get kids to buy into it, if you can use that and they understand from an early age, that it stays with them throughout their life.
Donny, when you walk outside the front door here and you look around the corner at the creche, you'll see a line of 7 orchard trees that we planted with them this year, with Stephen Doody, our great community facilitator in our Crown Trees for Ireland charity project. And those children were they had the most fun I ever saw children have, walking over to us with the worms, and they had a great selection of tools for digging the holes there in their playground. So I agree, the children they take to it, ducks to water. I mean, any child of 4 or 5 will tell you why they love trees. They love everything about trees, and indeed. Our project took off so well in Baldoyle that I was thrilled to hear from Aoife Cannon, one of their organisers there, that they had won the Tidy Towns Tree Award nationwide. And that is because they've planted one tree for every person in Baldoyle. That's 7,500 trees. Now, we started with one tree for everyone in the school, then one tree for the children in the schools around. There was the St. Mary's School planted one in their school for celebrating their 50th anniversary. St. Nessens, the community school, the hospital school. So just tree by tree by tree in Seagrange Park there. In the end, we had a tree for every primary school in Ireland, then every secondary school in Ireland. So, you know, on a Monday morning where it's mild, we want to encourage people to be getting out of bed and to be doing what they can. So have we issues with disease? No question about it. Have we issues with licensing? Yes, they've been very well addressed by John Fitzgerald. And you're right, Tony, you have certainly done your homework. John Fitzgerald proposed that the EPA would regulate this instead of singling out tree planting for licensing. So, yes, it would be great to see that logjam, as James referred to it, lifted speedily. David Attenborough is very much on your side, both of you talking about tree planting for building, that tree farms, you know, there's this perception that there's something very wrong about growing trees commercially, and that we should only be planting trees as woodland for recreation. However, I'm sitting at a wooden table here. We've a wooden partition between us. You know, where are we to get the wood? As you say, to be importing, it doesn't make sense when we're so good here. Plant. I'm asking people at home to find a spot to plant a tree, put it on our Tree Mapper app, and you may find space in your own garden or grandparents' garden. The Tidy Towns groups are fantastic, and residents' associations, you know, indeed. Ballymun, I'm going in to meet the Lord Mayor tonight with the Leo Dublin City Women in Business Group, and she'll be getting some holly trees as well.
And there was me thinking I was special. Folks, I'm really up against the time-wise, but just before we part company on this occasion, how do people find out more? How do they get involved? How do we hit that 1 billion mark?
EasyTreeEasy.com, EasyTreeEasy.com. You can get in touch, and we'll also, we've a new podcast coming out with the story of our project from the start. Thank you, Donie, so much for having me and for having James along. And let's stop talking, start planting.
That is a good motto and a good message to finish on. James, thank you so much for joining us on the line. And is there anything you want to add before we part company this morning?
Yeah, we'll just put a plug in ourselves and that. So if anybody has a space in the community that we'd be able to plant a few trees, just contact here in the partnership at 01-848-5608, or you can drop me an email at james.hill@nspartnership.ie, and we can help you out. We'll link in with Easy Trees and that, and we'll have a look at the site, and we'll give you a bit of advice of what best trees go for. And if you need support with the planting, you know, we'll help out in any way we can, anything to help the project in that.
James Hill and Laura Farrell, thank you both so much for joining me this morning. We will park it there, but I have no doubt we will be chatting again in the future. Thanks a million, guys.
Thank you, James.
Thank you,
Donny.
Thank you, Will. Bye now.
90.3 867 1190
Near FM.